Today's Bible reading is from Isaiah, chapter 6, starting at verse 1, and it's found on page 690 of the Church Bible. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Amen.
Have you ever wondered about the human condition? Here we are on planet Earth, billions of us, all sharing the same resources, breathing the same air, as John F. Kennedy famously declared, but sharing more, a capacity to love, to extend compassion, to seek the best in other people, and to seek the best for them. In amongst it all, we search for friendship and companionship, community with one another, all with an endless supply of hope and optimism, courage and caring. And to that could be added all manner of other characteristics. Yet, at the same time, injustice prevails. Violence increases, or so it seems. Abuse is more widespread, whilst all manner of evil seemingly comes to the fore all too frequently. Add to that the age-old struggle of warfare, as well as the newfound threat and ideology of terrorism, and it's clear that the human condition is complex, appearing to be unfathomable by many. And whilst answers are sought frequently and given, my own suggestion is twofold. First, there's a tendency to underestimate God in particular. His person, his presence, and his power. Then, there's a tendency to overestimate. And that usually involves our understanding of ourselves, as well as our reliance on other people and things, all increasing our desire to be independent rather than dependent. And that can affect people of faith as well as those who would claim none. In the Bible, we find just such an example, and it's in the experience of Isaiah. Debatably, the most significant of the Old Testament prophets, with a ministry spanning more than 50 years. Isaiah served under four kings in total during that time, a period between the 7th and 8th centuries BC. And whilst Isaiah's ministry had already begun, and his faith, trust and belief in God were established, it's the time of his commission which comes to the fore. And so chapter 6 begins with an ending. It was the year in which King Uzziah died. For the most part, his had been a good reign over the nation of Judah, lasting just over half a century, a time of overall peace and prosperity. Yet the end of his life and reign was marred, leaving its own mark on the nation, on the people, and on the prophet himself. All of that led to disillusionment and discouragement, with the question being asked, where is God in the midst of it all? And so, we find that even Isaiah was influenced and affected by particular people and events around him. That even Isaiah found it difficult to avoid reliance on other people and other things, and that even Isaiah wondered and questioned, overestimating the effect of the situation, whilst at the same time underestimating not only God's response, but his very person. That isn't too dissimilar to what you and I might face at times. And so the question is, what is the equivalent to King Uzziah in your life or mine? For the real challenge of faith, the Christian faith, is to live in the world, but not be part of it. All as the New Testament scriptures state. And that means not being unduly affected by whatever events might be they local, national, or international. And that means not being unduly influenced by whatever person or persons, be they local, national, or international. Being aware is one thing, being involved is another, but seeing beyond and knowing beyond is what is required. You might be rocked by events, whatever they are, unsettled by people, whoever they are. The hope that you once had may no longer be what it once was, or the faith that you once knew may not be all that it used to be. Yet despite that, and anything else that has gone wrong or could go wrong, like Isaiah, the realization must come that God is on his throne, that he still reigns, that despite the circumstances or issues or health, that despite whatever has come or gone, that despite whatever your relationship with God might be, and despite even what the church is like or appears to be like, it's still possible to trust, still possible to know, and still possible to experience the living God actively working on our behalf and active within. For he can change our hearts. He can transform our minds. He can influence our outlook and attitude. He can lead and direct. And he can still call and commission you to do his will and to fulfill his purposes. It's then that Isaiah saw what he saw. a glimpse of heaven, an image similar to that described by others, such as Micaiah, Job, King David, the sons of Korah, Ethan the Ezrahite, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the Apostle John. A reminder not to underestimate what we don't normally see. For in Isaiah's description lies the reality of life beyond this life, as well as of the power that lies within it. A supernatural basis for all that we believe. A place that can still be made visible, with activity that can still break through into this world and into our experience. But for Isaiah came a reminder that we're unable to overestimate ourselves when confronted with God's presence. God is love, and he loves you. He loves the world, unquestionably. But who he is, and what he says, and what he does, is beyond us. All of him, and all of it, exposes who we really are. A people very much in need of forgiveness and cleansing, of healing and restoration. A people who can overestimate themselves all too readily, but underestimate their need of God all too easily. Yet just at the point when Isaiah believed that all was lost, came renewal and restoration. The image of burning coal from the altar points to purity and transformation. And so the feeling of guilt and the awareness of sin were removed. The kind of feeling and awareness that continue to be removed as Jesus Christ is known and accepted, as he is followed and adored. And whilst the coal famously touched Isaiah's lips, what goes unsaid is the fire that was lit in his heart. Yes, Isaiah was given a voice to use for God's glory, and he did so. But his heart was stirred and moved to do all that he could, all for God's glory. Which brings us to the very essence of God's calling and his commission. For it cannot be ignored. He calls to set apart, and he commissions to equip. And that can happen at any time to anyone who believes. It doesn't matter who you are, or what age you are, or what stage of life you are either. For if he speaks, and if he appears, then you and I must respond. But more than that, that calling and that commissioning will coincide with being with the right people at the right time in the right place. And that won't always be easy or convenient. That takes us beyond the human condition into the spiritual condition. And that brings with it a sharing of God's heart and desire for his love to be made known, for his Son to be heard about, for his Spirit to be outpoured, for his church to recognize who they are, to recognize where they are, and to recognize what they can do in Jesus' name and for the glory of God. The reality is that we're faced with the human condition in our very community, in the world around And our response must be based on our spiritual condition, one which speaks and acts. That's why in the spiritual condition, there is only one answer to the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And that is, here am I, send me. That's been my response to God, a response that's ultimately brought me here. But what about you? The people that he's brought me to be with, the people that he's called to work alongside me, the people commissioned to make Jesus known. Where we are. Let us pray. Lord, at this time, reveal yourself to us. Touch our lips. Stir our hearts and enable heaven to be known so that we will do all that we can on earth for your glory. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.